Good afternoon, 4:30 and 73 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Sean Delaney.
The FDA will say, oh, we're doing a lot better, and we're only doing them in a year and a half now. We used to do them in 25 years or whatever, but I mean, it's still got to be even better.
Senator Rand Paul says it's taking too long to get federal approval for generic drugs.
8 women have overdosed on heroin at the Boyd County Jail.
And Kentucky is likely to finish the year with a budget shortfall.
In sports, the Moorhead State baseball team loses its 5th straight game this afternoon.
But Luke has the business news.
Thunderstorms this evening, low of around 49 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Authorities say 8 female inmates were taken to the hospital after overdosing on heroin at the Boyd County Detention Center. News outlets report jailer Joe Burkett says it happened Saturday night. Burkett says the women were hospitalized after snorting heroin in a jail bathroom. They were treated with the overdose-reversing drug Narcan. All survived and were released hours later. Inmate Felicia Hayes is accused of smuggling the drug into the lockup when she was arrested on drug trafficking charges Thursday. Burkett says the drug was likely secured in a body cavity, evading the standard strip search.
Gas prices take a pre-summer jump. The Kentucky News Network's Ed Huckleberry has more.
You may have raised your eyebrows recently, or maybe you just shook your head. Gas prices across the state are up this week about 14 cents a gallon. That's the largest price per gallon increase in the nation, according to AAA. Average gas prices were at a low in Owensboro and Paducah at $2.16 a gallon, with Louisville being the high at $2.45.
That was KNN's Ed Huckleberry.
Kentucky Transportation Cabinet engineers are continuing to work on the blueprint for a $100 million project that will take place on Route 32 in Rowan and Elliott counties. Plans call for the dangerously curvy highway to be straightened from Elliottville to its intersection with Route 7, with the environmentally protected Laurel Creek near part of the project's planned route. Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says its designers are taking their time in making sure that they have their ducks in a row when the work on 32 finally starts.
We won't see any construction on that this year, but that is something that we are continuing to do. You know, we're finalizing the plans, getting closer to the right-of-way purchasing period of that project, and in the near future we'll see some construction out there to renovate that road, make it, you know, bring it into today's standards and for future traffic.
Because there's no final design yet for the Route 32 project, Blair says a timeline for starting and completing it has not been established.
The implementation of a plan to encourage business in Moorhead is moving through City Council. The council passed a second reading of an ordinance to establish a tax increment financing district in the city Monday evening. Councilman Glenn Deeger says the TIF district, which offers tax incentives to developers looking to locate in Moorhead, is nearly finalized.
Well, the county has their second reading next week. If they pass it, as they did in their first reading, which I hope they would, the board will meet very, very quickly to just kind of start talking about what we can do and how we reach out to developers that might be interested. And then as those proposals come to us, that board would be the one that would decide we can do this or that and go from there.
Deeger says the TIF ordinance formalizes the rules and regulations for the plan, as well as arranges a joint Moorhead-Rowan County board to oversee the district.
Toyota's Georgetown plant is gearing up for a $1.3 billion infusion as the facility undergoes upgrades. The announcement comes after the state agreed to sweeten the company's tax incentive package. Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky President Will James says the money will be used to move the plant, Toyota's largest, onto a new global architecture as it begins producing the retooled 2018 Camry.
It allows us to put flexibility in some areas that we didn't necessarily have flexibility before. So regardless of whatever happens coming down the pike with the needs from customers, we can be in a good place to be able to meet those needs.
To help woo that investment, state officials made Toyota eligible for up to $190 million in incentives.
Details remain limited on the mystery project Kentucky lawmakers put $15 million toward in the final hours of the 2017 session, but Governor Matt Bevin says he hopes to make a formal announcement in the next couple weeks. Lawmakers agreed to allow Bevin to issue $15 million in bonds towards the unnamed Economic Eastern Kentucky Development Project, but for now, the company in question remains anonymous.
They have looked at multiple locations in multiple states, including multiple locations within this state, and they have narrowed it down to one location here in Kentucky. They have already told the other states that they are no longer in the running, much to the dismay of those other states. I understand some of them did not go quietly.
Bevin says the full project would be north of $1 billion. According to the House Majority Floor Leader, Jonathan Schell, the investment would provide 1,000 construction jobs and 500 permanent jobs. Speaking to Progress on the Deal, Bevin says he'll count the chicken when it hatches, but that it's, quote, pecking its way out of the shell right now. The governor went on to predict that 2017 would be the best year for economic development and new capital investment in the history of Kentucky.
To hear one House Democrat tell it, the 2017 Kentucky General Assembly was a triumph for big business and a step back for the average worker. But a Senate Republican contends the session was a rising tide that lifted all boats. Bedford Democrat Rick Rand and GOP Senator Damon Thayer of Georgetown traded perspectives on the legislature's work Monday on KET's Kentucky Tonight.
I think if you're a big business or special interest, it was a good session for you. I think if you're an average Kentuckian, you may want to check your wallet. You know, I think most of the bills we pushed through this session were for big business.
I don't understand how Representative Rand or anybody can say that these job creators coming to Kentucky or staying in Kentucky or expanding Kentucky, how that could be a bad thing for the average person.
Thayer says Kentucky is now competing more effectively for jobs because it is a right-to-work state. Rand says Kentucky won the nation's top award for economic development in 2015 from Site Selection magazine and was runner-up last year before it was a right-to-work state.
The chairman of the Democratic caucus in the Kentucky House of Representatives is predicting that his party will recapture a lot of the seats it lost in last fall's Republican landslide. State Representative Dennis Keene of Wilder offered the forecast on Spectrum Cable's Pure Politics.
The problem was more than just where we as Democrats were. It was the Donald Trump factor. I mean, the people that turned out just because of Donald Trump, it was a lot of anger, a lot of hatred. And as these pendulum swings in politics, you know, it'll swing back, and you'll see us recover some of those seats that we have lost.
Keene claims that pendulum will be swinging the other way in 2018 after Democrats engage Kentucky voters.
State officials say Kentucky is likely to have a small budget shortfall when the fiscal year ends June 30th. Tax receipts for March fell more than 11% compared with last year. Tax collections are down 3.2% for the last 3 months. State Budget Director John Chilton says the state is likely to recover most of those losses in the final 3 months of the fiscal year. However, he says it is likely Kentucky will finish the year below the official revenue estimate. The biggest loss in March was corporate income taxes, which were down more than 89%, but that's because companies now have to file their taxes by April 15th instead of March 15th.
Attorney General Andy Beshear says the Traditionalist Worker Party and its allies are not welcome at the Jenny Wiley State Resort Park or anywhere else in Kentucky. Beshear was responding to the organization's plan to hold workshops and seminars at the Prestonsburg facility April 28th and 29th, and a so-called Take a Stand rally in Pikeville. The TWP claims to have three chapters in Kentucky, and it is classified by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate group. The party is led by Southern Indiana resident Matthew Heimbach. In an interview posted on YouTube, Heimbach claims he is not a racist, but he is a separatist.
Tension is inevitable in a multiracial society. So where I come from, in my perspective, as also a separatist, is that there cannot be equality in a multiracial system. And instead of having to try and go against the laws of God and nature to try and force equality, it's much better, I think, for the white community, but then also the black community, to be able to peacefully separate.
Attorney General Beshear says Kentuckians should make it clear to the Traditionalist Worker Party that it does not represent the values of the Eastern Appalachian region or the Commonwealth.
East Kentuckians should tell these folks that they are not welcome and that their message is not the way that Eastern Kentuckians feel, that this is a community that accepts people and does not stand for hatred. And while these folks may be able to exercise their constitutional rights of free speech, we have the right of free speech to tell them, get out of our state.
TWP leader Heimbach was among those charged with misdemeanor assault for allegedly shoving a Black Lives Matter protester at a Donald Trump rally in Louisville last fall.
Looking to determine a budget for his facility in fiscal 2018, jailer of Rowan County, Wes Coldiron, is dealing with some major issues. Coldiron says the problem is that he can't predict things like the size of the electric bill that his department will be paying when it moves into Rowan's new 300-bed detention center in January, or how much revenue it might receive from its commissary.
I went up and took a tour of it last week when I walked around, and it's a big facility. You know, it took me a good 45 minutes to walk through it and try to figure out where stuff was at and how that, you know, how exactly how it's laid out. But it's going to be a game changer to me and all my staff. You know, we pretty much have to be retrained in a lot of areas on what to do and how to do it.
Coldiron has been working with Rowan Treasurer Michelle Jesse in an effort to put together a jail budget forecast for 2017-18.
The National Registry of Historic Places has granted a request by the Rowan Historical Society to put all of the buildings on the old courthouse square in downtown Moorhead on its list. The group learned only last month that the 1930s-era superintendent's office and the former jail building were being added to the registry, joining the old courthouse. Spokesman Gary Lewis says those facilities are now federally protected, which will help the Rowan Historical Society more easily obtain grants to help pay for its renovation efforts.
It does make us more eligible, you know, when you write for grants, you know, because, you know, number one, it being on the historical registry, it gives it a little more plausibility, you know. I won't say they're more qualified, but it carries a significance with them by being on the registry. That, you know, corporations and other groups will more tend to give donations for projects like that.
The Rowan Historical Society has been working for the past 2 years to fix up the superintendent's office and the old jail, which will eventually be turned into an art studio.
A state worker is suing the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, alleging sex discrimination and claiming that someone defecated in her office and urinated on her chair. Suzanne Duvall has details.
Sandy Sizemore Jackson said janitors had to clean up feces from her office floor, and she said she began to smell something funny when she sat down to work one day in March 2015. When she stood up, her pants were wet. A transportation cabinet spokesman said he had not seen the lawsuit and declined to comment. While the cabinet was the only defendant named in the lawsuit, Jackson places most of the blame on Mark Hoskins, a political appointee of former Governor Steve Beshear. Hoskins denied the allegations, calling Jackson a troubled employee. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
United Airlines will get through its current crisis, but not without some pain along the way. That assessment is from a crisis management expert at the University of Louisville. Dr. Kristen Lucas says the video of a Kentucky passenger being dragged off a plane because the flight was overbooked will force the company to reach deep into its pockets.
I think a longer-term solution is changing the culture and changing some policies. I don't think that this is the type of crisis that is going to take down the airline. But I would predict that there are going to be large payouts, settlements. There might be some turnover.
The incident occurred at Chicago O'Hare Airport on a flight from the Windy City to Louisville.
And finally, this afternoon, U.S. Senator Rand Paul wants the Food and Drug Administration to speed up its process for introducing more generic drugs into the marketplace. The Kentucky Republican is a doctor and expressed that view at a confirmation hearing for President Trump's choice to be the next FDA commissioner. Paul says more options for consumers would bring down prices.
Obviously, knowing that safety and efficacy is our primary duty, but that we can maybe get them approved quicker so we can have more competition, that we cannot have markets where we only have one generic, that we are doing things to allow more competition, understanding that competition will bring prices down.
Paul says he knows that some improvements have been made to expedite the process, but it's still taking too long.
Taking a look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, thunderstorms during the evening will give way to cloudy skies after midnight. Low should be around 49 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. Tomorrow, some clouds in the morning will give way to mainly sunny skies for the afternoon. High should reach around 69 degrees. Tomorrow night, mostly clear skies, low of around 47. Thursday, some clouds will be in the morning, will give way to mainly sunny skies for the afternoon. High should be around 75 degrees. Thursday night, clear skies, low of around 50 degrees. On Friday, intervals of clouds and sunshine throughout the morning will give way to more clouds later in the day. A stray shower or thunderstorm might be possible, high of around 77 degrees. And on Friday night, a few clouds, low of around 58 degrees. Right now in Ashland, it's 76 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 67 degrees. Inez is 81 degrees. In Lexington, it's 67 degrees. Winchester is 70 degrees, and it's 73 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:46 on our feature segments, the Trump administration's rollback of programs designed to slow global climate change will not bring back coal jobs. That's according to national security experts, who say it could destabilize the Middle East and threaten U.S. military bases. Greg Stottlewyer explains.
As President Donald Trump rolls back programs that help slow climate change, national security experts say it could pose major problems for the U.S. military he's also trying to build up. Defense Council member Brendan McKinnon with the Truman National Security Project says he didn't spend much time thinking about the environment, but being deployed to the Arabian Gulf in 2008 changed his mind. He says the sole mission for him and fellow U.S. Coast Guard members was protecting the one functioning Iraqi offshore oil platform.
The Defense Department has long recognized climate change not just as an environmental threat, but as a threat multiplier throughout the world because it magnifies the issues that our military is deployed to deal with.
President Trump has argued that rolling back the EPA's Clean Power Plan is part of a larger strategy to minimize government regulations that he says cost jobs and slow economic growth. But his environmental legacy is prompting some major pushback, including March for Science demonstrations later this month on Earth Day. Retired Marine Corps General Stephen Cheney, CEO of the American Security Project, says Trump is ignoring the fact that climate change makes the military's job harder and more dangerous. Cheney believes policies to fight a warming climate will make the nation safer in the long run.
We feel strongly that the Clean Power Plan was a good idea, that we need to be transitioning over to renewable energies. We need to get off of fossil fuels, in particular coal.
McKinnon says 99% of scientists and a majority of Americans, including Trump voters, don't want to ditch the Clean Power Plan. He points out that there are opportunities for Kentuckians to stand up for their beliefs.
A science march coming up later in the spring. So I think anything like that where you can make your voice heard by the administration so that they're hearing from more than the 12 coal miners that are on the stage with the president that think that's a good idea.
There are several March for Science events scheduled in Kentucky for April 22nd in Lexington, Louisville, and Bowling Green. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
4:49, all things considered at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for programming on Morehead State Public Radio is provided by Donate Life Kentucky. By joining Kentucky's Organ Donor Registry when renewing your driver's license, you can help 1,000 Kentucky children and adults who are waiting for a life-saving transplant. Anyone can register as an organ donor no matter your age. More information is online at trustforlife.org.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Morehead State baseball team was on the road today facing Marshall in non-conference action. The Eagles fell to the Herd 4-3. Tyler Ratliff's walk-off home run in the ninth inning gave Marshall the win. After a hot start to the season, the now 22-11 Eagles have lost five straight games, but Coach Mike McGuire isn't worried.
I've coached teams that have won 52 games, 48 games, 46 games in a year, and didn't matter. Every year you battle some adversity, whether that's, you know, a bad weekend or a bad stretch or some injuries or you know, off-field stuff. You know, you always deal with adversity. We're dealt with our adversity this weekend. Now, the important thing is that we don't let it linger.
The MSU baseball team returns home Thursday at 5 p.m. to begin a three-game OVC series against SIU Edwardsville. The 5-2 Cincinnati Reds will look to keep their surprising hot start to the season going tonight in Pittsburgh when they visit the Pirates at 7:05. The Reds won last night's series opener with the Pirates 7-1. Reds manager Brian Price went to his bullpen in just the third inning in that game, something he says may become the norm this season.
I think there's certainly circumstances where that's the best thing to do. And the thing that you have to do, and I think what our guys have bought into, is the selflessness, the selfless aspect of a bullpen. And that is, I'm not going to try to put anybody in a situation where they're not going to succeed. I'm going to try to make sure everybody has a general idea of when they're going to be used. But sometimes you just have to be ready to pitch when it's your time to pitch and do something that's somewhat unpredictable.
Rookie Davis will take the mound for the Reds tonight. Jameson Taillon will go for Pittsburgh. Two games from around the MLB today, the Tigers beat the Twins earlier 2-1, and the Indians lead the White Sox 1-0 in the second inning. Some non-conference action for the Morehead State softball team slated for today has been moved to tomorrow at 2 p.m. at University Field. Coach David Williams' 20-16 Eagles have a 2 p.m. doubleheader against Wright State.
You know, we've got still some things at this point in the season we got to work on and get better at, and we're starting to get into the heart of our conference schedule, so any opportunity we can get to step out of conference and get some games to prepare us for those conference games is really important.
The Morehead women will be out to snap a five-game losing streak when they face the Raiders tomorrow. The University of Kentucky picked up a basketball commitment today. Four-star shooting guard Jamal Baker joined the Cats recruiting class, adding to what is already the nation's top-ranked class. The former Cal Berkeley commit picked the Cats over Arizona, Oregon, and Marquette. Baker is ranked as the 65th best player in the class, according to ESPN. Louisville junior center Matt Stockman is transferring. Stockman will finish his career at the University of Minnesota, playing for Rick Pitino's son, Richard. Stockman averaged 2 points and one rebound a game last season for the Cardinals. While saying veterans Lawson Page and Jack Sherry are the front runners to replace graduating Austin Gayhafer as Morehead State's number one quarterback, Coach Rob Tenier notes that one of the team's youngsters remains firmly in the mix for the job. Tenier says he's been impressed by the efforts of redshirt freshman Ethan Jeffers during spring practices.
I think that Ethan has probably showed the most improvement over his time here as far as technique, understanding the system. But I would put him at number three right now, behind the other two, as far as just overall total package, what we're getting with him. But I think he's got a bright future for sure.
This is week three for MSU spring practices. The Eagles will wrap things up on April 22nd with their annual blue-white inter-squad scrimmage. The Kentucky football team spring practices continue to roll along. Quarterback Drew Barker is coming off of off-season back surgery. He says it feels great to be back on the field this spring after he thought his career may have been over.
You always kind of think that in the back of your head, you know, I don't know if I'll ever be back to how I was. But, you know, right now we're making great progress. Everything, you know, is full steam ahead. And, you know, just getting back into things has been amazing. And it's really just now just shaking off the rust and being back out there, you know, live defenders going around.
Kentucky spring practices end this Friday with the annual blue-white spring game. The Rhyon County football team recently wrapped up its spring practices under the direction of new head coach Kelly Ford. Ford says the Vikings got a lot accomplished and had fun doing it.
The biggest highlight is probably our kids coming together. You know, everybody's been pulled many different ways and trying to get our system intact and them coming together and you know, flying around just having fun and smiling on the football field again.
Ford says he's also been busy in the school's hallways recruiting additional players for his program. He thinks the Vikings will have over 70 players out for the team next season. And finally in sports, Bracken County High School has a new football coach. The school has hired veteran Ohio Prep coach David Brosh to replace Michael Sizemore, who left the Polar Bears after five seasons in February to take over at Clay County. Athletic Director David Fisher says Bracken wanted a new coach with experience who would be proud to be at the school.
We wanted someone with that experience, that winning background. We feel like we've got the athletes and the potential right now to win games immediately. We always, you know, always looking for someone to teach our kids about life, you know, preparing them for life after high school. And we wanted someone in, you know, that's going to be in, a, in our building on a regular basis. And right now, Coach Broush is going to be a he fits that role.
Broush has been a head coach for 17 years in Ohio, where he compiled a record of 114 wins and 71 losses. He also won a Division II state championship in 1998. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Baseball will host SIU Edwardsville at 5 p.m. on Thursday and Friday at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Eagle Softball will host Belmont for a doubleheader at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. on Friday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities fell as investors fretted over geopolitical concerns, pushing safe haven assets higher. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 6.72 at 20,651.3. The S&P 500 was down 3.38 at 2353.78. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 14.15 at 5866.77. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 18 to 11 positive, indicating the broader market was stronger than the major indices. Among S&P's sectors today, financials and information technology were the worst performers, and the NASDAQ was pressured by the weakness in these larger tech stocks. And the Dow Transports were also under pressure, as shares of United Continental briefly pulled back more than 4% after outrage over a passenger being dragged off an overbooked flight finally caught up to the stock. Equities cut losses after President Trump told a group of executives that his administration was looking to revamp Dodd-Frank, the banking law, which might be eliminated and replaced with something else, according to the president. Traditional safe havens caught a bid as gold futures for June delivery rose $20.30 an ounce, finishing at $1,275, and the benchmark 10-year note yield dropped down to 2.3% as bond prices were bid up on Treasury securities. On the economic front, the NFIB Small Business Optimism Index slipped to 104.7 in March from 105.3 in February, but the uncertainty index hit its second highest level in history. And in the oil markets, oil was also up, finishing with a gain of 0.4% at $53.29 a barrel. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were McDonald's and Disney. The worst performers were Apple and DuPont. In the S&P 500, the best performers were American Airlines and Seagate Technology, and the worst performers were Alliance Data Systems and Royal Caribbean. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down 16 cents at 126.12, CSX down 47 cents at 47.21, AEP down 11 cents at 67.39, AK Steel up 7 cents at 7.11, Marathon Petroleum up 30 cents at 50.44, and Kroger was down 63 cents to finish at 29.56. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking one last look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, thunderstorms during the evening should give way to cloudy skies after midnight, low of around 49 degrees, chance of rain at 80%. Tomorrow, some clouds in the morning will give way to mainly sunny skies for the afternoon, high of around 69 degrees. Tomorrow night, mostly clear skies, rather, low of around 47 degrees. On Thursday, some clouds in the morning will give way to mainly sunny skies for the afternoon, high at near 75 degrees. On Thursday night, clear skies, low of around 50 degrees. Right now in Ashland, it's 76 degrees. Flemingsburg is 67 degrees. Inez is 81 degrees. In Lexington, it's 67 degrees. Winchester is 70 degrees. And it's 73 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition. This afternoon, we had assistance from Chuck Baraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Adkins, Tilden Johnson, and Victoria Agee. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre. From the Kentucky News Network, Ed Huckleberry and Suzanne Duvall. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sean Delaney and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.